Here in Washington, the National Museum of Women in the Arts is featuring a retrospective of works by one of America's best-loved painters. Anna Mary Robertson Moses died 40 years ago at age 101. The exhibition, Grandma Moses in the 21st Century, challenges viewers to set aside previous notions of Grandma Moses as quaint and take a fresh look at the artist to prove that a new life can begin at 80. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
The farm woman who had become an international art sensation was born in 1860. In her lifetime, she would see the aftermath of Lincoln's assassination and the nuclear destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. She spent her life laboring as a hired hand, as a tenant farmer with her husband, and she bore 10 children. 5 died. Eventually, she settled into a farm near the Vermont border in New York. That New England landscape would forever become associated with the paintings she began in old age.
We are always amused to hear her described as a frail little old lady. Bent and tiny though she was fire, steel, and strength.
Beth Hickok Moses first met her mother-in-law in 1934. Widowed, in her 70s, Anna Mary, fondly called Grandma Moses by her family, was warming up to her second career.
Intense hands, small, thin, blue-veined, athletic, creative, work-worn hands. Grandma found her comfort and salvation in the joy of work. There was no job she attacked, and I use that word intentionally, that she didn't find worth doing well.
Work was an outgrowth of her self-expression. Her impressions of southern rivers, northern villages, backyards, chores, and family gatherings reflected not only the world she knew, but the colors she saw, the brightness of an embroidered sampler, the intense whites of a New England winter, and the rich mold tones of canned fruit. Jane Collier grew up with this art in her grandfather's gallery, but she vividly remembers the first time she looked closely at a Grandma Moses painting.
Just an amazing combination of emotional intensity, really visceral capturing of the landscape of different kinds of weather and seasons. You can practically smell the hay in a Grandma Moses painting. I mean, you can really imagine yourself walking around in them. And then at the same time, a technical brilliance, you know, a handling of form and color that really is on a par with the great artists of all time. I was just bowled over by what this funny little farm woman had really managed to achieve on an artistic level.
Moses first displayed her paintings at country fairs alongside her homemade preserves. She would dryly note that only the preserves ever won blue ribbons. Art historian Judith Stein explains the Cinderella story that followed.
A few of these paintings were in a local store when a New York collector came by, saw them, bought them, and brought them to the newly opened Gallery Saint-Étienne in New York. They were quite impressed with them. So she debuted in the New York art world in the fall of 1940 in a show that was quite humbly titled, What a Farm Wife Painted. The press really responded with great attention. And they wrote about her pies and her prize-winning jams and her cookies and the chickens that she raised. And more, her work was shown and her visibility and reputation grew.
Moses actually outgrew her reputation as a talented, naive folk artist, becoming something much more. According to Jane Collier, Grandma Moses countered the strangeness of avant-garde art, providing a comfortable symbol of American originality.
Grandma Moses was also someone who gave people an enormous amount of hope at a time when people were absolutely terrified. These were the early years of the Cold War. People were really, really afraid that the United States might not have a future, that the world might not have a future. And she was someone who said the important things endure.
Post-war Americans wanted reassurance that old-fashioned qualities like regional pride and innocence were still vital. A 1946 appearance with Edward R. Murrow emphasized Moses' pluck and her roots.
You had an ancestor who came over on the Mayflower, didn't you, Grandma Moses?
I came on it myself.
Have you decided yet what picture you're going to paint next, Grandma Moses?
No, I haven't. I'm a little trying to get into something different than what I have been doing.
That would never really work. Grandma Moses, just as she was already a lively industry. Copies of her art exchanged hands through millions of Christmas cards, and her images pitched everything from instant coffee to cigarettes. Her popularity had a price. She became better known as a role model for senior citizens than for the nuances of her art. And because her work was so ubiquitous, art historians ignored it. Grandma Moses went from being a landscape painter to being part of the American landscape. Jane Collier.
And, you know, when something becomes too much part of the American landscape, you tend to take it for granted. And I think we really need to look at her with fresh eyes. The term Grandma Moses has become almost a generic term that people use, she's as old as Grandma Moses.
Collier organized the retrospective, which contains many of Moses' most popular images. It's the first exhibition of her work to tour American museums in almost 20 years.
I do have a feeling that we are in a different place now. And Grandma Moses in the 21st century is not going to be the same old grandma that we knew or thought we knew in the 20th century. She was, in the 20th century, Grandma Moses, the celebrity, the sort of cult figure first and an artist second.
Collier says that even though Moses' paintings focus on a farm lifestyle that seems almost mythic now, the bright paintings organized in sections like Work and Happiness, Nature and Play, and Celebrations still vibrantly reflect our own stories.
She really invites the viewer to experience a very direct connection between the present and the past. So she's not really taking people back in time, but talking about a continuity of experience and values that we all share.
Grandma Moses in the 21st Century at the National Museum of Women and the Arts in Washington, D.C. The tour will continue to San Diego, Orlando, Tulsa, Columbus, and Portland. Netta Ulibi, NPR News, Washington.